All right, well, why don't we sort of get rolling slowly, and we'll see if a few more folks trickle in as breakfast comes in. Welcome to day two of SharePoint Conference. I'm Jeremy Masner. I'm a program manager on the SharePoint team, and we're going to talk about the way we thought about making SharePoint Online work great for small businesses. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and maybe find out a little bit about you before we dig in. I've been at Microsoft for 16 years. I was lucky enough to be on the team that built SharePoint Portal Server 2001 back in the day, so in 1998, working with the Tahoe team. And then I left SharePoint after we shipped 2001, did a bunch of other stuff around the company, including some work in evangelism and some work with Windows Live Mesh and the Windows Live SkyDrive offering. And then I came back to SharePoint. When I left it, we had just shipped and we had zero customers and $0, and then you just heard Jeff Teper yesterday say we're now a $2 billion business. So it's pretty amazing to come back to SharePoint and see all the changes over time. The thing I worked on over the last year, a couple years, was really working on our offering for small businesses in SharePoint Online. So I helped build some of the core features in SharePoint around sharing, around sort of collaboration, but also really thought end-to-end about what our offer would look like for a small business. And we really tried to focus on the idea that when you're a small business, you obviously have to get your work done, you have to do good work, but you also have to look good doing it. You want to look professional to your clients, to your customers, and we wanted to make that as easy as possible within SharePoint. So, I didn't start my little timer there. Let me just check, how many of you would say that you are part of a small business, work for a small organization, okay? And how many of you are here because you want to learn how to use SharePoint Online in that business? Great. How many of you are consultants who want to help sell it into small business? Okay, maybe even a little bit of overlap between those two. So that's great. I'm going to focus mostly on the end user stuff here. So we're going to talk about what it's like as a user in a small business to take advantage of the SharePoint Online offering. I'm happy to take some questions about some of the admin and other stuff, but I really wanted to focus the demo on the end user things. This is also just an overview session. We have tons of drill down on each of the things that I'm going to be covering here, and we'll cover those going forward. So when I thought about, you know, small business and what we want to deliver in SharePoint Online, we really tried to pivot around these three areas, which is you want to have a home on the web so that your customers and your clients can find you, they can learn about your business, they can connect with you and reach out to you. Once they've found you, you actually want a way to engage with them. So you want a way to work productively with your partners, your clients, wherever they may be, whatever services they may happen to use. You want a way to engage with them. And so the scenario we actually used as we were planning it was thinking of an architect. You can imagine sort of a small architecture firm or even just the architect working out of their home. They work with multiple clients. Each client has, you know, a pretty meaty project. When you're doing something like a home renovation, you've got lots of proposals, you've got sort of design ideas. You eventually get down to very specific plans, and then you have tasks, you have a permitting process, you have a timeline, you have a contractor you work with. So there's really a bunch of stuff that is attached to each of these clients. And so we wanted a way to make sure that with each client or partner that you're working with, that you have a place to do that collaboration successfully. And again, you know, looking professional as you do that. And then the last part of it that we thought about was how you stay organized and sort of keep your sanity. So when you have all these projects going, you know, five different client projects, 10, 15, how do you actually keep track across all of those things and have a sense of what's going on so that you can see what's going on in your day, figure out what you have to work on next, and sort of keep all the balls in the air. So those were the things we focused on the SharePoint side. Office 365, of course, is much more than just SharePoint Online. We bring a lot more to the table. With the full Exchange offering, so you get a complete email solution. You can get integrated the voicemail connectivity services, depending on how you buy Office 365. And of course, we've got Link for conferencing and voice integration as well. So the whole package, I think, is very attractive in the small business space. But we're going to focus today just on the SharePoint parts of it. I talk about it as a lap around SharePoint. Not too deep on each of these things, but we'll touch briefly on each of the areas. And I just wanted to call out where the additional sessions are. So for public website, Tomorrow morning, we'll have a deep drill down on that, including a bunch of interesting things like how you do your SEO, how you integrate with social media, things like that. The team site, so through these individual project collaborations, we're going to talk about right after this session. We have another follow-up to go deep on that. And then there's going to be even another one later on today that's really focused on the sharing aspect, so how you bring in those external partners and clients to bring them into your site with you. For SkyDrive Pro, which is the last thing I'm going to cover, there was a session yesterday. So if you missed that, you'll wait till it shows up online, and you can go ahead and watch that. But we'll also have a drill down on organizing tasks and sort of keeping track of all of your work using SharePoint and SkyDrive Pro. So again, I'm going to sort of cover all these things, but there's lots more detail to come. And with that, let's just sort of dig in, and we'll talk about the public website, and then we'll go into a demo. So the reason we built the public website is to help your customers find you and really create opportunities. I think everyone would say it's sort of taken for granted that you have to have some way for your customers to find you when they go in and search, using Bing, of course, because that's how people search. But you want to have a result that comes back, you want to have it relevant, you want to have people find you, and you really want ways to have them connect through social media and other mechanisms so that you're drawing them in. The other thing that we thought was really important is once they've found you on that site, you really want a way for them to engage. So the idea of having some way for them to reach in and say, hey, I'd like to contact you, I'd like you to make a bid on my project, here's a description of what's going on. So we tried to build all that in by building a great set of web pages. We have some basic pieces of social media integration built in, which we'll see. We have a blog that's built in. And then we're actually going to have some applications that you can stick on top of the public website for things like customer input and additional sort of data points there. So let's just take a look and see how it all comes together. So this is the default that you get with every SharePoint Online site. You can see that we've taken the name of the tenant here, and we've added dash public to it. That's the starting point for your site. That's how we sort of differentiate. We intentionally, for security purposes, want to put the thing in its own domain so that anything that happens on the public website has no ability to impact your core domain. So we use that dash public to get started. And then one of the first things you can do is register your own custom DNS name and put that in so you have a site name that makes more sense. I'm going to do a really quick demo of this stuff. Again, there's a follow-up after. One of the things I do want to point out, though, is that this public website uses the same underlying technology that you saw in the keynote yesterday. So it uses our full sort of publishing platform, all the power of SharePoint. We tried to make it a little bit simpler for the target audience of these small businesses, but it is the same platform underneath there, which is great. Has anyone used the public website on the current offering of SharePoint Online? A couple. I'm sorry. It gets much better. We have an offering out there. We got a lot of feedback from it. I worked on that last one, so I take all that feedback to heart, and we've made some significant improvements. So let's start by just sort of customizing this thing and making it look good. The other thing I'll just point out is that by default, the website is private and requires authentication. That's actually another change from the previous offering. When you sign up for SharePoint, we create the website, but you really probably don't want this associated with your business name because this is nothing, and it actually makes you look unprofessional when customers find you and it looks like this. So we keep it private. We let you design it to look the way you want, and that's when you make it publicly available online. So let's start over here on the site tab by trying to make the thing sort of look more like my business. So we're going to go over here to change the look. And let's try to find a theme here that looks kind of good. So this, you saw a little bit of this yesterday, I think. We have this mix and match. Where you can take different kind of page layouts. You can see there's one here that's sort of a... Oops, I didn't actually mean to do that. This one looks a little bit different from this kind of page layout. We have a combination of the master page layout, the background image, the colors, fonts, and there's something like 150 different variations we ship by default that you can use to get started. And then, of course, you can customize them, and you can use design managers to add your own in. So if you're a consultant and you want to impress your customers by building a really great-looking website, we can do that sort of thing where you use Dreamweaver, build it, set it up as a package, and add it in here. So I'm going to go ahead and take this one. And I'm going to, well, again, we're going to sort of play the role of an architect here. So let's say I'm one of those home businesses. I'm an architect, want to look good for my client, so we'll do a little drag and drop of a nice looking kitchen that I've designed here. That is not how it was supposed to work. Let's try that again. Do a hard refresh, maybe my cookie timed out here. Okay, let's try that again. There we go. That's a bit more convincing. So we have the picture. We can see how it's going to look. We can make some choices about color here. We can sort of see that. That's a little bit of a lighter color. All right, we'll go ahead and settle with that one. We could, of course, change our fonts. We can change the site layout, which governs where the menus are going to be. But let's go ahead and take that in the interest of time. So it's going to go ahead and apply that theme. It's going to make sure that all my colors and fonts match the way I specified. It's going to apply that across all the pages in the site. It'll show me this temporary preview so I can see how it looks with my specific content, and that looks fine to me, so we'll keep going. All right, so already a huge difference in the level of sort of professional look and feel of the site. Let's go ahead and just finish off with a few more things. I want to change my logo, so I'll click Change Logo. This is a spot where we unfortunately didn't quite get drag and drop working, so I'll go this way to get my site logo. And that will pop in there, which is great. We can do a few other things. We've got this footer area down here, so let's go ahead. We call that a site element. That's not really a part of the page. It's a common element that's shared across all the pages. So we'll edit that guy. And this is where you could put, you know, your copyright notice. Save that change. And then, of course, you can just get into the meat of editing your pages here. So on any given page, you can just go in and click Edit. Again, it's the full sort of typical SharePoint publishing capabilities. We can edit texts. We can delete. They've done some really nice integration with the rich text editor. So if you've got nicely written text in Word, you can do a copy and paste and get it with full integrity directly into this page. I'm just going to do pretty quick here, and maybe we'll insert an image just to show how that works. Pick another one here. Let's see. Pick that one. Yep, and we get an image, and we can resize it and kind of do all the things you'd expect to do. So again, a really nice experience for editing in SharePoint. We have the flexibility for editing outside of SharePoint also, which is really great. Let me go ahead and save that. It's easy to add pages. So again, we have this sort of default here. You can go ahead and delete them. You can add new ones. We have the blog set up by default so that you can keep bringing people back to the site by giving them new information. We've got the Twitter and Facebook integration added by default, which is really great, again, to sort of link clients in, keep them engaged, keep them coming towards your website. And then, as I said, we can add an application on top of here, which will take input. So if you want to have like a contact us form where you ask customers for their name and the size of their project, it'll sort of pull that into a leads database. You can keep track of it and work with them over time. And of course, we expect the application marketplace to expand over time, so there's lots of flexibility there. The last thing I'll just highlight is taking this page online. When I'm in edit mode, you see that we have the sort of standard SharePoint library names up here. So we have /pages. And then we have our page name. We've done the work so that when you take this thing public, we actually have a view that does not include, let's see, oh, it wants me to publish this. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and take it online. We'll go back and look at it later. We actually get rid of slash pages when we build out that URL so that for search engine optimization, we try to get your URL as compact as possible. So if you're going to have a custom domain name like jeremysarchitecture.com, what your users will see is jeremysarchitecture.com/contact/about-us/whatever it's going to be. We got some feedback that makes quite a difference in the way the search engines rank pages. And so with that, it will make the thing publicly available. That's what I have to do. Let's publish that draft. And now anyone on the internet can get to this page. They can just go to the home page. And here you can see we've gotten rid of the pages. We've gotten rid of the default.asbx, and that's available for people to see out there. So that's the public website. Again, a ton more functionality you can learn about in the other sessions, but we think that's the first important thing. Getting yourself out there in the world so customers can find you. So the next thing I want to talk about is once you've landed a client and you want to work with them, you need a place to do all that work together. Excuse me. So in SharePoint, we've taken the traditional sort of team site and we've tried to really rethink it and think about what's going to be the most effective way to collaborate in these kinds of small business scenarios. And one of the issues we've had in the past with SharePoint is when it came time to create a site, you had to do a bunch of thinking about, well, where should I put the site? And then what template should I use? And you had to really think about it because we didn't really give you a great way to switch. If you were thinking, well, I want the document meeting, the document workspace template, and then later on you realize that you were doing stuff in addition to documents, we didn't have an easy way to switch back and forth. So we sort of did a rethink of that whole experience. And all the advanced stuff is still there. If you're the kind of person who likes going in and customizing all those things, picking specific templates, great, keep doing that. But again, for this sort of small business user, we wanted to make it super simple. And so our philosophy is it's one click away to create a site, and the site grows with you. You don't have to make a bunch of decisions ahead of time about how am I going to use the site, and how many people are going to be there, and what things are we going to do. We're going to start you off with a document library, we're going to start you off with a OneNote notebook, and we're going to start you off with a feed for having conversations. And then anything you want to add on top of that, go ahead. Add it in over time. You can add more functionality. It all just kind of grows with you. So let's take a look at what that looks like. I'm going to switch over here to the sites page. So this is one of the things you saw in the keynote yesterday. This is my place to keep track of all of my sites and also to create new sites. So you can see we've got the link to the public site here, some sites I've created in the past. But when you're going to create a new site, it's as easy as going here and clicking New Site. And in SharePoint Online, we don't ask you to choose a location. We just sort of put everything off the root here as a subweb. So I can say the new kitchen project. That's all I have to do. I don't have to pick a template. I don't have to assign owner groups. I don't have to do any of this kind of fancy stuff. We're just going to go ahead and create that web, and it'll take me right to it. Now, again, we think when you're working with clients, you want to look good. Do good work, but also look good doing it. So we've got all the same capabilities around theming kind of built in there. I'm just going to do it again real quick because it's fun and it's fast. So we'll go over here. We have sort of a getting started tips and tricks. And this time I'm happy to just stay with this one, but I do want to put in an image that's going to resonate for my client since we're doing the work with them. So let's actually put a picture of the client's kitchen in here so that when they come to the site, they see something that looks familiar. And we'll just go ahead and finish up with that. One of the other things that's pretty important to me as a professional is that I show my clients that I have a very good respect for their time and for their budget and for their project. And so I like to have a timeline and sort of tasks so they can clearly see what's coming up. They understand what I'm working on, they understand what's happening next, they understand how and when to engage with me. And so in that same getting started bar there, one of the things that we're highlighting is an app that we're shipping out of box, which is the project application, as we call it. So I'm going to just click to add this. Like, you could go to the marketplace and find it, but I'm just going to click right here to get this one in. And this is going to provide me, think of it as sort of a lightweight project management thing that I can go ahead and get started with so that I can show my clients what's happening in the project. So I'll go ahead and edit and start to put some things in. And again, just similar to the way in the public website, we think we should keep it private until you've had a chance to make it look good. We take the same approach in the team site. When you create one, it's only available to the person who created it at the beginning. You get a chance to customize it to make it look good, and that's when you can share it out with the people who you want to see it. So we're going to have a design phase. And we'll say the design phase will finish up by the middle of December here, and that's not really a specific task. That's more of an overarching one. And so, he's going to add that to the timeline. Oh, as part of the design phase, we'll do some site visits to see some other people, some other houses where the kitchens that seem might be interesting, and we'd say we schedule that for the 18th. So we'll create that. Now, of course, the site visit is really part of the design phase, so I'm going to do Alt-Shift-Right-Arrow and just indent that so I can show visually that it's part of this project. A nice thing here. You'll notice all the editing is happening here in line with all of our lists in SharePoint. We've made it possible now to edit directly visually in line, so you don't have to open up items one at a time. You don't have to go into datasheet view. We're quite excited about that improvement. Let's say we'll have the first conceptual drawings done by December 1st. That is definitely a task that is assigned to me, so I'll put my name down there so that there's no question about that. We'll have a review meeting on December 3rd. So you can see what's sort of going on here. And then eventually we will get to the, what would be next? Probably the permitting phase. And that I want to dig back out. That was Alt-Shift-Left-Arrow to shoot that thing back out. And now let's sort of show you what it looks like to put these things on the timeline. So I'm going to select everybody. Come on, selection. And we'll go to tasks and say add them to the timeline. So they're starting to show up there. Of course, what's important to me is that design phase actually look like sort of a long-running thing, not just a task at the end. So I can click on that and say I want to display it as a bar. And that gives me a chance to add a start date, which is today. So now he shows that way, and I can even do something like sort of pop him up top here as a call-out. And of course, you can sort of organize these things around and put them in the specific ways that you want. You can change color, you can change formatting. There's tons of interesting stuff here, and as I say, there's in fact a whole session on how to make this particular feature look great. But I'll go ahead and stop there. And now when we go back to our homepage, we've actually got a really nice looking timeline view that my client's going to be able to see and have some confidence that things are going well in the project. I'm going to get rid of our little getting started bar because I don't want my client to see that. Go away. Okay, a little reminder that I can always get back to it. And then again, the other sort of key tools of collaboration that we start you off with are the news feed. Oh, sorry for shouting. What do you think of this door design? You can, of course, put images right in the news feed. Where is my door? So you're able to have these kind of loosely structured conversations with your clients directly on the site. You can see it comes from me here. Your customers can reply back and forth and stay engaged with you. Of course, we've got documents, so you can either create a new one here, as you saw in the keynote. We can also do drag and drop, so we can just say, hey, this is the proposal we're going to work on, and the document is uploading there. And then the last thing I'll just highlight that we create by default is the notebook. I think this has really the potential to improve the collaborative process in some of these settings. Having gone through a remodel myself, I wish we had had a OneNote that my architect would have used with us, because there's so much that goes on. So we open it directly in the web app here, and so you know you can have a design ideas section. You can have another section for hardware choices. And of course, OneNote's this great canvas. You can just sort of point and type anywhere. You can add comments easily back and forth. It's collaborative, so in real time, you can edit back and forth. So we felt pretty strongly that we wanted to highlight that as one of the key things of the team site. So once you've got your team site looking the way you'd like, come on back here. There's lots more you can add in. I'm not going to show the marketplace today, but you saw a hint of that yesterday. We hope that the app ecosystem is going to grow very quickly so that when there's specific additional functionality you want to add, you'll be able to go to the app marketplace, add them onto these sites. And then the last thing I want to do is actually invite my client in so they can participate. This is something that's traditionally been really, really hard for SharePoint, whether it's on-prem or hosted. Is how do you reach out to people who are not part of your organization and include them in the site? And we've built that in sort of just as a core concept in this version of SharePoint. So I can invite anyone in the world, whatever their address is, whether it's Armando and maybe his wife uses uses Yahoo Mail or something like that. You just go ahead and type their email addresses and click share. And we will take care of the rest. We will send them an invitation. They'll receive it in their inbox. They'll be able to use that invitation to sign in and access the site. We've designed it so that when these external guests are on the site, it feels to them like they're a full user. They don't have any notion of, oh, I'm a guest, so something is less good for me. It doesn't feel like a cheap thing. We don't try to upsell them and say, like, hey, you should really be paying us $10 a month so you can use this site. In the context of the site, we want the guest to have a full, rich, delightful experience. Outside of the context of the site, we don't want them to have any access at all, because you don't want them looking at other sites. Can we hold it to the end? We'll make sure we follow up. We don't want them looking at other client sites. We don't want them looking at other parts of the news feed. So we think we got that model working pretty well. And as I say, there's a whole other session going on to the details of how external sharing works. But that is the basics of the team site. So the things you'll get here is you'll get documents. You'll get tasks that might be assigned to you. When we created this site, since I was the creator, it automatically followed the site so that next time I go back to the sites page, it'll show it for me waiting in the list. If you were working somewhere else in the company and wanted to follow someone else's project, you're one click away from that. Just click follow. And again, we've got the sync client with SkyDrive Pro. So if this is a client you're going to be working with a lot, you want to make sure you've always got these files on your device, wherever you are, online or offline. You just click sync, and it brings all those files down. So that's something we're pretty excited about. The last thing I'll just show here is following individual documents. So if this is a particular hot document you're going to be working on a lot over the next couple weeks, you want an easy way to find it. We basically have a way to sort of follow it and make it a favorite. And when I click follow, it's going to add it to my follow documents list. And you'll see when we go back to SkyDrive Pro, that document is right there. So I have it's always front and center for me. And when I'm done working on this particular document, I can choose to stop following it so that it falls off of that list. So that's the team site. It's quiet this morning. Everybody awake? The task with Exchange, yeah. Let me talk about that when we get to the next thing. I'll show the tasks all up. Demo team sites, we have already done that. So, and then the last thing that I wanted to talk about this morning was SkyDrive Pro and the idea of keeping all your work in one place. You heard about it a little bit in the keynote. We think as you start to build these projects, and now you've got 2 clients, 5 clients, 10 clients, you've got tasks and all these things, you're being very diligent about assigning these things out, it's pretty important, especially, I think, as a small business professional where you've got your hands in so many things and the business lives or dies on how well you're doing, you want an easy way to see all of your work, get a single view of what's going on across everything. And so we do that in a couple ways in SkyDrive Pro. We give you the integrated view of your tasks all in one place. We, of course, have a great search functionality, so you can easily find any document, no matter what site that it's on. We actually, in addition to aggregating tasks, we'll aggregate all the newsfeed activity into one central view. So even if you're in a company of one, where you would usually think, well, why do I want a news feed to have a conversation with myself? It's actually useful to get that single rolled-up view because you can see what's happening across all those sites. You can actually reply directly back to them from that news feed, so we thought that was pretty important. And then the last thing that SkyDrive Pro gives you is a place to store files that aren't part of a project. So things that are, you know, maybe it's the finances for the company, maybe it's some projects that you're working on personally, maybe it's some ideas you've got going, maybe it's a first contact with a customer. They wrote into you from your website and they asked some questions and you want to sort of send them the one page, like, well, here's a little bit about me, here's some examples of previous projects I worked on. You can store all of those in your personal SkyDrive Pro library without having to create a separate team site for them. And so we get to see how that works. So we're going to go over here and click on SkyDrive. Well, actually, we can look at a couple things. So this is my SkyDrive Pro library. This is my personal document library. It's, again, that place where I can put documents that I'm working on that maybe aren't quite ready for a customer or unrelated to a specific customer project. You get the same functionality as in any document library. You can create new documents here. One of the things I'm excited about is Excel Survey. This is a way to actually do a very quick sort of survey form that you can put up on your public website. You put in a bunch of fields. Anyone can fill in the fields, and all the data on the back end goes into an Excel spreadsheet, which you access here from your SkyDrive Pro. So you can see how the results are coming in. You can do tabulation and all kinds of fun stuff there. Of course, you can drag and drop to upload. We have the same sync working here. This is one that I actually synced ahead of time, so you can see that I get my SkyDrive Pro library here with the same contents that show up. So that's a nice functionality. And then we've also, as I said, got that list of followed documents. So across the different projects that you're working on, when you've got sort of a hot topic, you can follow it. It shows up here. It's always just one click away. Which is nice. You can go in and look at it. Well, that's a very short proposal. Clearly, I have some more work to do on that one. It actually takes me back to the site. Aha, forgot about that. But so you've got those followed documents that show up there. And then the other sort of aggregation points that I mentioned, we can see them over here from Newsfeed. You get to see what's happening across all of your projects. So here was that post we made to the new kitchen project. And so it shows up here, and it shows me that I posted into that project. I can reply directly here into that project. If I want, I can post something new into that project. I could post into one of my other projects. Good news on the electrical... I don't know. We'll make something up. Good news on the electrical front. And that's going to show up over here. So only the clients who have access to that site will see that particular post. But if they reply to me, it comes back here, so I get that one aggregated view. And then we also talked about tasks. So when I go over to tasks, I have some of my test tasks here. But you can see them coming in from the different sites, the different projects I've got going. I know that I have to do a structural review coming up. Got a punch list review on this one, and here are the ones that we added just earlier. So it's nice to see those come across. We can check mark them here and say that they're complete. That's a great demo task there. You can also go ahead and create, just as you can have personal documents, which are not part of a project, you can have personal tasks, which are not part of a project. And then as we heard in the keynote, we've actually got synchronization working with Exchange. So if you're someone who likes to use tasks in Outlook or access the tasks on your phone, the tasks you create there will show up here. The tasks you create here will show up there, and you've got one nice aggregated view. You've always got quick and easy access to those things. And then the last thing I'll just sort of highlight again back on the sites page. Since we created that other site, it shows up here as a site that I'm following. I am free, of course, to stop following it when I'm done working on a site, and it'll fall off this list. So it's always easy for me to sort of to keep track of what's going on. We can show search real quick, so we can say, oh, where was that proposal I was working on about the guest house? It pulls me back, again, any documents from in my site. It does this nice hit highlighting. It says that guest house is inside. And in fact, on this one, we get the WAC preview, but it's even smarter than just doing full text. It actually knows that there's a heading called guest house, And so when I click on it here, it'll actually take me in the document directly to the section that had the guest house heading. Whoops. If I hadn't clicked, it would have done it. Where'd it go? There it is. So it takes me right into the document. A ton of really interesting search innovation happening there to make that possible. We think that's also going to be pretty important when you're working across lots of clients. You've built up lots of these projects over time to find the specific documents, the specific section of the document that you're working on and thinking about and can get back to work. And of course, you can edit here in the web app if you want. It connects to the rich clients if you prefer to edit there. One of the things we're pretty excited about is that we made it possible also for our external users to view and edit in the web apps. Seems like a fairly obvious thing, but we didn't actually get that plumbed in all the way in the last release. So this release, when you invite a client into your site, even if they don't run the latest version of Office or they don't run any version of Office, they'll be able to view and edit the Office documents all online. They'll be able to collaborate there. They'll get the full co-authoring experience. They can comment back and forth with you. So there's no requirements for your clients to be immediately successful with you, which is something we thought was pretty important. And that was basically what I want to show. I want to leave plenty of time for questions. I heard from people yesterday that questions were already queuing up for this one in particular. But just to recap, we want to make sure that for the small business, that it's super easy to do great work, to look good doing your work, and that we don't try to force on small business people the idea that there's an administrator task. We have this theory that if you're a small business person, administer my SharePoint site is nowhere on your goals list. You don't think about administering the site. You think about making some money and working with your clients. And so that's really the approach we tried to take, let you get started as quickly as possible, get engaged, getting that website out there so people can find you, getting connected individually with your clients and your partners so you can get some good work done, and then giving you a way to keep track of that, of all that stuff, so you're always looking professional, you're always on top of things, and you're not missing anything. The last and most important thing, please do take the time to fill in feedback for me. I'm always interested to know how I can do better. And more importantly, there is an important competition going on among the speakers, and it's important to me to win. So if you liked it, if you liked the presentation, you can wait till the end so you get to see how my question and answer period goes. But please do fill it in. A lot of people pay attention, and it helps us shape the way we do future conferences. So with that, thank you, and let's take some questions.
So I have a question here. Can you hear me? Everybody hear me? Okay, so I want to try to better understand the difference between the public website and the regular team sites that you create, SharePoint Online. So I can create this nice public website, and I can add some web parts and things like that, make it look great. But to what extent can I get a list or documents in a library or some other content from my team sites to show up in the public website? Is that possible?
Yeah, give me an example of the kind of thing you're thinking about.
Okay, so let's say I've got a list of data, tracking information or something that, this would be good for the customers to see on my public website. So I would like to add that as a web part or a list on the public website, but also maintain it or keep it, in the team site. Is that possible?
It's easier with documents. With documents, we have a very easy way to say this document should be anonymously accessible, and I want to put it on the site.
Okay.
I'm going to look. There's a bunch of folks on the site. Does anyone know offhand if there's out of box a way to do the list? I think that so you can create a list on the public website and make it publicly available. We had a bunch of discussions about this, and we didn't come up with a good general purpose way to take any list and put it on the public website. We'll have some apps that will do that for you. But I think if there was a specific list you want, like a pricing list or something like that, I would say I would put it on the public website for now to make that available.
Can you, maybe this is too deep a question for now, but what is the architectural differences between the public website and the regular internal team sites?
Almost none, but we wanted to be incredibly cautious about which sites you could turn on the anonymous flag, because in previous, if you look at a sort of less managed version of SharePoint, it's actually relatively easy on the permissions page to just say, make anonymous available. And we actually have found in our 14 release customers doing that on their internal team sites and having no idea that they've just exposed all their data to the internet.
Right.
And so the important difference that we did for this version was we said, we're only going to limit that whole site, the anonymous access thing, to that public website in its own domain and try to constrain it there. So architecturally, there's no difference. It's just a web with pages and web parts and libraries and lists. But we've removed the ability to go into any sort of arbitrary team site and say, make this list anonymously accessible. So that's the thing that's missing there. I'd have to look and see whether applications can turn that on, whether someone could write, oh, hey, there's the expert, in fact. Sorry, Kevin, I didn't see you there.
Yeah, we don't have a way to automatically publish a list from the team site to the public site and make it anonymously accessible. But you can use an app to shuttle the information into essentially an Azure auto-hosted thing that then pushes it into the public site. And we've done that pattern, and we'll actually publish an article on that.
Yeah, so you're doing the public website talk, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so Kevin has a whole session to go into more details on the scenarios there and thinking there. Yeah, so I think the question is, what are the limitations of the online version relative to on-premises deployments? Are we trying to move to be able to doing all the same functionality over time? I think yes, with one really important exception. When it's an on-premises deployment, you have the ability to customize anything. You can reach into the content database and mess around with files. You can change files on disk. You can run your own code. You can run PowerShell. You can do whatever you want. That's I think, incredibly powerful, and I think we've seen a lot of customers take advantage of that on premises. In the hosted environment, we do not want that to happen because we don't have the a way to guarantee that a change that someone, so in particular, we tend to share tenants in a content database, right? That's the whole idea of multi-tenancy. There are special offers you can get where you're hosted in your own tenancy, but they cost a lot more for us to run and they cost a lot more for customers to use. So because we're in this multi-tenant mode, we wanted to be, I would say, exceedingly cautious about preventing any one tenant from somehow messing up another tenant's information. And so the approach we've taken is to say, look, in the online environment, you don't get the ability to get your fingers in the content database. You don't get the full PowerShell capabilities that you'd get on-prem. That's one of the reasons we moved towards this new app model, is we think it's a very clean way to express the gap in the functionality. So you can do all sorts of solutions using CSOM, the client-side object model. But anything that has to reach into sort of the server-side object model or touch the databases directly, we're really trying to move away from. So that having been said, from a user functionality standpoint, we would like very much to match them. And the places where we haven't matched, we're keenly aware of them and thinking about ways to bring those forward. Is there a particular one, a favorite that you've got?
I'm not made by
it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, for which sites? Yeah. So all the site templates are there. Again, I sort of went through what I think of as the no choices path. We're not asking people to make any hard decisions. We're guiding them towards what we think is going to be a great experience. If you're someone, as I said, who has your own opinions about what's a great experience, we've still got everything there. So when we go, let's go ahead and look at one of these sites. We'll go in here. That is a fine idea. Thank you. So this is something that I would never encourage showing to any small business user, because they're going to say, I don't want this. But we have the site settings page, and it's all here. We have the site contents page, and so you can go in here and say, go ahead and create me a new subsite, and we give you the delightful form that everyone has known, grown in love, and you can say, I want a community site. A project site is a team site with that task list already pre-installed. Sorry? It's the whole same thing as before. So I think you get to choose, use same permissions, use unique permissions. If you need, you can create the document center, a bunch of nav stuff when you create it. Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was, we actually had a really interesting debate very early on about, are we ready to sort of cut the cord from all that stuff and say, like, hey, we just have this offering. And we concluded very early on that would be a poor idea. So again, we tried to design this path that we think is going to work really well for people who are not SharePoint experts, who don't have a SharePoint, don't have a bunch of history, and who just want to get work done. They just want to create a site, and they just want to share it. We want to make that as easy as possible, but we have not removed any of the existing functionality. Gaurav, you want to take a shot? We happen to have in the room the gentleman who designed that interface, and so I might just defer to him.
So your question was, why have you given the option for
So you're talking about this button right here, which is not showing by default. Gaurav, you want to just grab the mic, and that way everyone can...
Someone external, someone at gmail.com or yahoo.com, there's no way for us to actually notify them unless we send an email. So you really have to send an email to them. So actually, if you type in an email address up there, we disable that box. You cannot uncheck it, because that's the only way it can work. So that's one part. And in other cases where, if you, let's say, add a security group in there, the security group, if it doesn't have an email address, it won't send an email. But in general cases, we've seen that people want to, when they think about sharing, it's a two-part action. They want to grant access as well as they want to notify the person. So there are cases when the person already has access and they only want to notify the person. So, well, email sending is required. There's the other case when they just want to grant access, and we've talking to people, we realize that that's a much smaller case. So that's why we've hidden the default, we've made it default to send an email, and we've hidden it before so that it satisfies the 90% case where people want to grant access and notify both. In case of those 10% users who only want to grant access, well, they just have to click one more click.
So.
Yes, true. So in on-prem, again, as I said, we think that most of the people, when they share, they also want to notify the recipient that this thing has been shared with you. That's the 90% case, so that's why we've designed it this way. If you really have a case where you want to grant access but don't want to notify, it's one click away.
Yeah, gentleman back.
So with this, do I give an instance, a private instance of SQL Server on the back end that I can choose for the database
Into the question is, with when you pay for Office 365, do you get your own private SQL instance?
No,
Not in the way you're thinking of it. We provision some SQL space to run SharePoint, but you don't have the ability to connect, create new tables. Yeah, that's, we would say go ahead and use the app model and Azure to do that kind of work. That's a good question. So the observation is, when I went back to the old school way to create a site, let's go back to that guy. I definitely don't have any. So the observation was that if you're seasoned SharePoint hand, when you go to the new subsite, you would expect to see a tab here that says custom, and it's not showing up. It is definitely true that I don't have a custom template. I'm looking at the team. Okay, so it's hidden when you don't have custom templates. It should. I can't think of any reason offhand why it wouldn't work. Yeah, if it doesn't work, let me know, and we'll figure out why. Yes?
When you're talking about how you handle all the security, how does that actually work? Is it form security? Is that in the form page?
For the external users?
Yeah, so when they get their email, how is it security?
Yeah, so we're going to go through the whole flow in Gaurav's talk later. We're all running in claims mode, and we are actually, the full details are complicated. SharePoint Online trusts a single identity provider, which is your organizational account. It's login.microsoftonline.com. That's when you're signing into a SharePoint Online account as a paid user, you're using that identity provider. That identity provider has a federated trust with the formerly known as LiveID, currently known as Microsoft Account Identity Provider. And so today, to accept one of those invitations, you can either sign in with an organizational ID if you are someone who already has your own Office 365 organization. But for most of the people that you would be working with in a small business, they would sign in using their Microsoft account. And of course, Microsoft account can be a traditional thing like at hotmail.com or at live.com. But we also have this notion in Microsoft account of, I don't know if we have a real name for it. Internally, we call it EasyID, email as sign-in. And so you can actually take your Yahoo address or your Gmail address and use that as a Microsoft account. We think that with Win8 starting to get out into the world where if any of you used it in a home setting, the first thing Windows 8 wants to ask you when you set it up is, what's your Microsoft account? Because the Microsoft account is how we sync your settings. It's how we roam your favorites. It's how we roam your documents. It's how we let you connect back. It's how we give you the universal photo library. So we think increasingly people at home are going to have a Microsoft account of one form or another, and that will let them access into the site. For cases where that's really more work than you want someone to do, we can also have a way to share documents anonymously. So Gaurav will show that in his session. But we can't share a whole site anonymously. We didn't think that was a great idea. But you can take individual documents and say generate a sort of complicated, long, obfuscated URL. It doesn't show up in the search index. So no one's going to find it in the search engine. But anyone who has that URL can click on it. It'll open the document in the web viewer. They can edit the document there if you choose. And we're interested in feedback about whether we really got that external user feature right. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of interesting stuff under the cover. 3:15 today. Yeah, sir, back. Yes. Yeah, so the observation is twofold. One is, as I alluded to before, in the current version, the current offering that's out there of Office 365, the website designer, you didn't say the word sucks, but I will say the word sucks. And again, I will apologize profusely. We made a bad decision on that one. That's the honest answer. That's why we invested so heavily in the new version. So the first observation is, gosh, that thing isn't as great as I want it to be. And second is, there's so much SharePoint goodness, but licensing terms say I can't use it. And what's the story going forward? I don't have the licensing terms like in my head for 15. The general, I know that the design point was we want to enable great websites for small businesses. We do not want CNN.com running on one of our SharePoint online offerings because that's going to be bad for someone who's generating millions of visits every day, and it's going to be very bad for the rest of the SharePoint online customers. So I know that we generally try to get that in the terms of service. Is this a specific feature you're thinking of? So we'll have now, you can use libraries, lists, web parts, publishing features, drafts. Blogs? Yes, blogs are in. Yes, blogs, it's there on the public site. And in fact, we did, I'm going to look at Kevin, we got the Facebook commenting integration for blogs also. So we did some neat things. We have, you can see all kinds of interesting things people try to do in the current service to get the blog going and to try to get anonymous commenting. Blogs is a scenario we absolutely said we want. If there are specifics, I would love to follow up with you and we can find one of the licensing experts and just make sure. Yeah, so there are a couple reasons for that. One is, we were concerned about sort of scale and people trying to run a full-size publishing site for a massive audience. I expect that you will find a similar statement in the current thing because we don't want, as I say, millions of hits coming in on these things. But aside from that, we did want it to be a great website. We wanted it to be something that a consultant who knows SharePoint feels like they could really sell a great site to their small business customers. And so I'd actually love feedback. If it seems like we're missing there and we're hampering either your ability as a small business to run the kind of site that you want, or as a consultant, we're messing up your business model because you can't bring your full skill set to bear, we'd love to get that feedback. Okay, that's good news. He had good feedback about the private site, which I appreciate hearing. I think we've taken that a great step forward also. Yeah, so the question is that let's go back to the, am I up? Yeah, go back to the sites page. Is this notion of following sites meant to replace, you said hierarchy and departmental portals and subsites? As soon as you say hierarchy and departmental portals, I don't think we're talking about small business anymore.
Not in a complicated way, but a project site and an HR site, not huge sites.
Okay. Yeah. I would say no, it's not. So again, all that capability is there. You can express the layout the way that you want. So we actually have an offering of SharePoint Online called for small businesses and professionals. In that one, we sort of limit a bunch of the administration surface to keep it simple. But in our full e-offering, if you want to get that one, you can actually change what happens when you click the new site button. And you can say, oh, new sites shouldn't go here at the root, they should really by default go under /projects, and let's put them there, or they should go over here. You can even override this dialogue entirely and write your own app. At Microsoft, that's what our IT department did. When you create new site, they actually have a session on this, I think, somewhere in the conference. What you'll see is they loved our concept of making it simple, but they also loved the concept of compliance. And so they ask a couple of their questions like, hey, is this going to be confidential information or not? And based on those decisions, they actually place the site in the right place. So it is extensible over time. The hierarchy is there. The other thing I'll just point out on the sites page, these are sites that I've followed because they're of interest to me. These are sites that the administrator has pushed to me because they thought they were important. So we default to just these two. But since I happen to be an admin on this tenancy, If I can say, you know, HR site is at foo.com/HR. Don't do anything dumb. That's the motto of HR. And then it shows up there. So that's one that an administrator has now pushed out to every user. So if you want to have those kinds of portals, you can put them there and get them out to users. Sorry? Yes, any link. Any link. We actually use that for some of our hybrid scenarios so that, you know, as we're trying to get people from Microsoft right now is actually a mix. You'll hear this in their session. We have a bunch of stuff that we started moving to the cloud, and we have, you know, what are we at, 12 years of legacy and history that's on-prem. We're trying to move it in batches, but a bunch of our stuff, like our HR site, is still on-prem. So that's a great place where you can have a link from the cloud and back to on-prem. Yeah?
Can we use it for user-generated contents? If not for the main website, but if let's say we have a website for news, let's say, as you said, CNN, but certain parts of those websites could be running on this, you know, surveys or polls or some submissions and stuff like that. Can it run on that? I mean, depending on the quotas that you have or the limitations that you have for the submissions that go into it.
Yeah, so is it for the public website or for the team sites? Or
no, for the public website.
The public website.
Yeah.
I'm going to look to Kevin. Can we do the search-based content on the public site? And
No.
We can't do that.
No, I mean, it's I'm asking for the user-generated contents. You know, if I'm a user of a website, it's a news website, let's say, and as a news website owner, I want to run certain interactive services, not search, but, you know, as I said, it's a survey or it's a voting or something like this. So can we run that out of this?
Yeah, let's maybe talk more after to get the specific scenario. Surveys is one that we have built in. So
yeah.
that's
or if we want users to submit certain images and videos and stuff to a list.
Yes, okay, so you want user-submitted content coming
yes,
in.
Yes, that's right.
In general, we would say that's a great place to build a custom application. We don't have a bunch of connections out of the box for that.
Right.
But we, for example, we're going to build this application for doing surveys that takes user content and puts it into a SharePoint list.
Okay.
So that'll be one that we ship. You can also do some really interesting stuff with Access if it's sort of form-based applications. Access, the new version of Access, does a pretty good job with that stuff also. But let's talk more in detail and we can figure that out. Let's come back here. Yeah. Yeah, the question is, when the external users, how do they persist? Do they have accounts? Well, what does it look like? So again, we have these two ways of external sharing. We have the anonymous link, and that one, there is no real user account. That's just like, hey, here's a link to the document, and anyone who has the link can access it. When we have external users who accept an invitation, they're actually added to the directory, they're in the user info list, and they're there until you delete them. So they become, again, the model we wanted was that they really feel like a full, rich member of the site. So they show up on the site, they're just like any other user on that site, and you are welcome to delete them when you don't need them anymore. But they can come back. They have to sign in again, but they're still part of the site. Another one over here? Yep. Sorry, to share in. Yeah, so how do we share lists between sites? I think if memory serves, we make that really easy if you're in the same site collection. And that still works. Across site collections, I would have to look about see how we do that. Vertical meaning. Yeah, in the site collection, I don't think we've done anything new there. I think you get the same experience where you go to edit a page. Here are our web parts. And you insert. and you say, I want a web part. And it should be showing you all the different lists from across the site collection, if memory serves. But that might not be right. I'm looking to the team, see if anyone knows. All right, so it sounds like that was not a good answer from me, so. Okay, I'd be happy to let me follow up and get a card and I'll make sure I get you an answer since that one was clearly not good. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. To have a single app across site collections? That is still going to be custom, that's correct.
Hey, Jeremy. I was just going to say at 12:15, I'm doing a SharePoint Express demo on the public website as well and showing the differences on-prem, online, if people are interested and want to.
Oh, great. At 12:15?
At 12:15.
Where is that?
In the exhibition hall.
Oh, hey.
SharePoint
awesome.
Express.
Lunchtime demo.
Yeah.
Great. When do these changes go live? I don't know if we've promised a date yet. They're rolling out right now, and I think the first upgrades will happen very early next year. Yeah. Sorry? I want to be cautious about that. Should I say that the answer is yes about creating custom designer workflows, or should I say we're... Yeah, no, I'm just thinking of some pending changes we have coming, but I think we... Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. It certainly works today. We're looking at some changes to sort of help with some of our security modeling. And so we were being very cautious about making sure that the workflow design all still worked. And I think the answer is yes, we are not going to mess that up. Did I drain the queue? Anything else? All right, I appreciate your time. Please fill out the survey and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks. Thank you.